Who am I?
Who are you?
What am I supposed to be doing with my life? How can I be a success? How do I make my life happy? The big one is, what's my purpose? All questions everybody asks. And this series that I want to start today that the Lord did tell me so many months ago, I knew when I was going to Chile, I knew when I was coming back. Usually when I come back from a mission trip, we kind of celebrate, and the anointing that I had in that nation usually kind of overflows into the room. But I had a specific assignment from the Lord, and I believe this has to do with our Jubilee. I believe this has to do with what the Lord wants for us. He needs you to know who you are. Because a lot of times people do this. People have a church Sunday life and then a Monday through Saturday life. And really, God didn't call you, and we call it, Pastor Rhonda and I call it, we call it a sacred versus a secular life. God didn't give you a sacred life for Sunday morning and a secular life for the rest, and you just do whatever you want. No, you have one life. And you need to find out who you are Monday, Tuesday. You need to find out Monday through Sunday. Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? And so that's what this series is about. And I know sometimes there's a lot of people who say, well, you know, how do you discover your purpose? How do you discover the plan for your life? Well, I want to tell you something. I remind you, I think I did this on a Wednesday. I don't remember when it was. It was a long time ago. But we used to have one in our bedroom. We used to have one of those exercise bicycles. Does anybody have a treadmill in your bed and maybe in your bedroom or a you know, an exercise bike? And how many of you know those were created for a purpose? They were to walk on, to ride. But, you know, back in that day when we had it in our bedroom, mine became a very nice clothes rack. I mean, you, on the handles, you could hang a jacket. And, you know, if you had something extra to dry that wasn't dry, you could, like, you know, you could, you know, everywhere. And I got to looking on, I Googled it, because you can Google anything. And I Googled treadmills with clothes on them. And in everybody's bedroom, they were just full of clothes and baskets, you know, lined up where you're supposed to be walking. I mean, it's just extra storage. It was awesome. But how many of you know that's not what that was created for? So it was fulfilling a function, but it wasn't its created purpose. And a lot of people in the body of Christ are filling functions in their life, but that's not what they were created for. You have to find out what you were created for. And the only way you can find out what you were created for is have a relationship with the Creator. God created you. And you can even look in the Garden of Eden and find out the overall purpose of man and why the purpose of man and why they were created. Number one, it was for fellowship with God. Because God wanted a family. He had angels, but he wanted someone, because the Bible says he created them in his likeness, and in his image created he them. He created us so he could fellowship with us. So your number one priority, just general, you know, purpose is, number one, you and I were created to fellowship with him. We were created to be with him. We were created to be his sons and daughters. Number two, you were created to have dominion. You were created to rule and reign in this life as a king. And number three, Adam and Eve were called to replenish. And so I'm telling you this, well, you know, because some people, I'm done replenishing in the natural. Hallelujah. Well, then you need to get to replenishing in the realm of the spirit. One of the things that I found out with some things going on recently in my life, the thing that makes me the most content if I want to get back at the devil is get somebody born again. Because you're going to mess, then I'm going to bring somebody out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. So let's talk about replenish. Let's replenish. Let's get it back to the way God, because it is the will of God that all men be saved. So that's the will. So we need to be about that. So that's the general overall purpose for mankind. But every one of you have a purpose. Every one of you in this room have a plan. A lot of times in church, we look at this small percentage when we talk about this subject, and we look at the maybe 2% that are called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or we call them the fivefold ministry. And then yet there's another 98% of the body that, well, I'm just supposed to exist. No, God has a purpose for everybody. And so let's concentrate on the 98%. Let's concentrate on the people that you may not have a fivefold call, but this is the truth. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. It's just like your physical body. How many of you know your heart has a purpose? And its purpose determines its function. And if it's not acting in its function, or it doesn't do its purpose. If my heart decides I want to be the hearing part of you, how many of you know life is all messed up? And so the Bible talks about the body, and it talks about that, but everything first starts with a purpose, so then it determines its function. You're never going to be content in your life until you find out God's purpose for you. And you say, well, it's a little late for me. I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm 80. It's never too late for you. And I'm only 10. I don't need to know. Well, they're not in here, most of them. Maybe you're a teenager and you're 12, you're 13. So, well, I don't need to know yet. Oh, man, if I know now what I knew when I was 12, I would have missed a lot of mess in my life. If I'd have figured out my purpose early. I'll tell a little story. People say, well, how can I find my purpose? How can I find my function? I always wanted to be a teacher. I tell these stories. You know, when I was in eighth grade, we had at our high school, we had a career track. So they ask you in eighth grade, what do you want to be when you grow up? What's your purpose? What do you want to be? Well, I want to be a history teacher. I found out later, I really don't like history. Every time we go somewhere, Pastor Rhonda wants to go look at the history of it. I don't really care less. And so I really could, unless it's a fort or something cool. But I don't care. Anyway, so she likes to go to these graveyards. I don't want to do that. And so this is really the truth of what happened. I got to hurry up. But so then I got to know some of the history teachers in high school. And all they had to put up with, and the extra, where I was from, the extra stuff they had to do in the summer to make money. I'm like, I don't want to do that. And so I changed my course, my career path. Then I decided I'm good with numbers, so I'm going to become an accountant. And so I did the career path. And then when I got in college, I got hanging out with the professors like me. And so they made me a TA, teacher's assistant. And so then I was like, okay, I think I'm going to, instead of going to become a public accountant or get in the accounting field, I'm going to become a professor. I'm just going to keep going to school. I'm going to become a professor. And then I got to talking to them, and then I figured out they don't make as much money as those who do. And so I'm like, I want to do that. Never mind. I'm not going to do that. But all through my life, all I ever wanted to do was be a teacher. But I was backslidden. And I was trying to fulfill my function outside of my purpose. It was still there. And thank God that I got born again, or came back to the Lord, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and realized, oh. And when I do this, oh, it's fulfilling. But I have ministry examples, but what's yours? What are you called to do? It's never too late to find out your purpose. And you're never going to be happy until you're functioning in your purpose. And it's not just church. It's the entirety of your life. I've watched people, nurses have this thing that I don't understand. How can you? I admire you. But I have the same admiration for somebody who can fix my car. Because I don't understand that. My dad tried to teach me. I said, no, thank you. I don't want to know. Because I can't figure it out. But I want you to look at this. Let's start here. 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to know that the answer is found in the word of who am I? What's the purpose of my life? How do I find it? The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So I want you to say this. By the grace of God, I am who I am. By the grace of God. What is that word, grace? Now, grace is not always the same word everywhere. You got to understand what it's talking about. So grace here is the ability to be something. It's not talking about saving grace. It's talking about who God made you to be. The service, this is the service side of grace. Who am I? And so a lot of times, what you can find out what your purpose is in life by what you want to do. Mine was teach, what you want to do. Who am I? There's a grace, by the grace of God, by the ability of God, I am who I am. And the deal is this. Before you started trying to figure that out, God had already figured it out. Before you try to figure out who you are, God has already figured it out. And I know that because of some scripture. We're not going to take a lot of time to look at it, but Galatians 1, 15 and 16. But when it pleased God who separated from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, there's that grace again, to reveal his son in me that I might preach. So there was a grace to do something. This was where? In his mother's womb. Before he did anything right, how many know Paul did a lot of wrong? But it still didn't change. See, even in his wrongness, he tried to do something to help God that was against God. Because he had this grace working. Where did he get this grace? In his mother's womb, before he did anything right. In other words, it didn't have anything to do with Paul. It had everything to do with God. And a lot of people are trying to do things in their life on their own, but God created it in your mother's womb. It says the same thing in Isaiah 49:1. Listen, O isles unto me, and hearken, you people from far. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has made me a mention of my name. Aren't you glad God knows your name? Even if they gave you a crazy name, God still knows your name. Verse number 5. Even if you change your name, God still knows your name. And now says the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be a servant to bring Jacob. There's the assignment. In the womb, I had an assignment to bring Jacob back to the Lord. And then let's look at Jeremiah 1:15. It says, before, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Aren't you glad God knows you? So when we were in our mother's womb, God knew us. And he gave us something. And before you came from the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee. And then here's his assignment, a prophet to the nations. What is my point? And those are all ministry examples. But I'm telling you, I believe God can ordain you to be a teacher. I believe God can ordain you to be a lawyer. I believe God can ordain you to be a mechanic. And around here, God can ordain you to be some kind of an engineer, because everybody's an engineer or something around here. But I believe there's a grace to do it. God can ordain you to be a mother. God can ordain you to be a father. Some of you, your most important assignment is your parental assignment. God can give you grace to be a great parent and to train the next generation. And God knows they need to be trained, because there's a lot coming against them and they need somebody to train them in the ways of the Lord. But there's a grace for that. God can, or in your mother's womb. In other words, when you were in your womb, before you did anything right, before you did anything wrong, God had an appointment for you. God had a grace for you. God had a purpose for your life. You say, well, no, not for me. I was a mistake. Well, they can call you whatever they want. God knew your name. God knew who you were. Well, I've really messed everything up. I'm sure, you know, God can't use me. Oh, that's not true. Because if that's the case, the apostle, the guy named Saul, would have never become Paul. I think sometimes there's such a path. The Lord changed his name so he'd give him a fresh start. I'm just telling you that when you were in your mother's womb, I just want you to really get this. Because see, if you don't understand that you have a purpose, you will wander all the days of your life. And when you get to the end, you'll wonder why you did all the wandering and, you know, what is this all meant? But you can get to the end of your course and be very fulfilled because you found out what the purpose God had for your life. What are you supposed to do? Because see, your purpose determines your function and gives you the grace, and you have that grace to do it. Otherwise, what you're doing, and I'm not going to teach on grace today, but what you're doing, if you're not fulfilling your purpose, if you're not fulfilling your function, you're frustrating the grace of God on your life. Paul said, I don't want to frustrate the grace. What does it mean to frustrate the grace? It means God's ordained you to do one thing and you're doing something else. And you're never happy and you're never satisfied and you're very grumpy. And you're hard to live with because you're frustrating it. You're frustrated. And there are seasons, and listen, there may be even seasons in your life when God has ordained you to do one thing, and then he'll get you to another place, but it's all about purpose. It's all about function. Everything we do on purpose, we do with purpose, and we do with the purpose of God. And therefore, when we find that out, then we're able to function. Y'all with me? Amen. And because there's a purpose, because there's a function, then I want you to see this. Let's turn to Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. So God, the Creator, has a purpose for you, and he's given you a grace, the ability to do that purpose, which gives you a course, a destiny for your life. So when you find out your purpose, so if you don't know your purpose, you're wandering. And so this season, the year of Jubilee, the Lord has declared to us, what do we got to do? We got to find, make sure that we're finding our purpose, so that we can determine our function, so that we can walk in the higher places with the grace of God. The Bible says this in Proverbs 19, verse 21, out of the Amplified Classic. It says this: many plans are in a man's mind. How many know we can all think up stuff? Even as a parent, you can plan out your child's future. I have found that the wannabe cheerleaders make their daughters be cheerleaders. The wannabe football players are forcing their boys to play football. Do not try to fulfill your dreams in your children. God has a plan for them. God has a plan for them. And we tell people this all the time. Don't tell your child they can be whatever they want to be when they grow up. Tell them that they want to be what God wants them to be when they grow up. Because that's where fulfillment is. Now you know God's plan is way better than any plan you can come up with. Hallelujah. Many are the plans in a man's mind, but, everybody say but, it is the Lord's purpose. The Lord's purpose for him that will stand. You see, anything else you do is like building on sinking sand, and when the storms of life come, it'll knock you off. It'll just demolish it. But when you're doing what the Lord has purposed for you to do, the Bible says it will stand. How many of you want things to stand? Psalms 37, 23, familiar scripture to everybody. The steps of a good man. Do I got any good people in the room? That word good there, translated mostly righteous. Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? The steps of a righteous man are what? What does that mean? Well, it means that God has put in an order. And their steps, it's almost like taking his big steps. I imagine God, you know, the big God, the Father that he is, he goes out in front of us and there's steps. And it's our job to find them. In other words, he's ordered them. But the will of God is not always done on the earth in people's lives because we have to obey. In other words, it's not just going to happen. Even though they've been ordered, you've still got to find them and walk in them. That's why the purpose of your life, the destiny of your life, is not your determination. It's not for you to decide. It's for your discovery. I've got to discover the purpose of my life. I've got to discover. And the only person that knows that, that'll always be fulfilled, is the Creator. The Creator, when I was in my mother's womb, he prearranged. We're going to look at in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse number 10, Amplified Classic again. We are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated. Are you born again? Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined. Do you believe in predestination? I believe in predestination as far as when you get born again, that there is a set path that God has for you that's your highest place. Predestined, planned beforehand for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. Where did he prepare those? In your mother's womb. Because he knew you're going to get born again, and he did it for everybody. When they get born again, there's a path that's the highest place that they can walk in because it's their purpose, it's their function. That we should walk in them. I like this part. Living the good life. How many of you want to live a good life? You want to be successful? Now, I'm not promising you no problems come in your direction. I do know this, that when I'm on my path, if an enemy tries to come against me, I know that's my next footstep, and you can't stay in my way. You got to go. Because this is the path the Lord has for me. I should walk in, living the good life with he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God has a good plan. I said, God has a great plan. And you can try to figure it out in your own mind. And like I did when I was a teenager and a young adult, try to make my own way, and yet there were clues in me all the time. There were clues of my life. But until you're born again and full of God and go in his direction, he can't really direct you. And so what do you got to do? In order to find the purpose, the first thing you got to do, and I know this is really simple, and most of you are already born again, but I'm telling you, unless the Creator is the primary in your life, where he is downloading into you what you're supposed to be doing in life, you'll never be happy. There are a lot of people who are born again and going to heaven when they die that Jesus is not the Lord of their life. Lord means whatever you say is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow you because I know you're good. Jesus, I know you're good, and I know you've predestined a good plan for my life, and I'm going to find it, and I'm going to walk in it. And it doesn't have to just do with ministry. Everybody in this room is called to be a minister of reconciliation. But God cares as much about, you know, who you're going to marry, and he cares as much about your married life. He cares as much about your children. He cares about your career. He cares about your business. He cares about all of that. And all of that has been pre-planned and pre-arranged, and it's good. And anytime you find yourself unhappy, anytime you find yourself, you know, I'm not saying that the devil, even the perfect will of God, won't try to come against you. But if you're constantly irritable, if you're constantly not happy, I would go back to the origin and say, Creator, what have you created me to do? What's my function? What's my purpose? Who am I? Who am I? Who did you make me to be? I know it's good, and I know you'll help me find it. And I'm going to quit trying to figure this all out and have my own plans. I'm going to do it your way. And when I do it your way, I'm going to follow the steps that you've ordained for me, and I'm going to walk in them. So realizing that there's a course really helps you. I mean, one of the things, I've been praying a lot on Wednesday. I've been back leading prayer on Wednesday. We've been praying a lot about purpose and function. And the scripture that came that I use is 1 John 3:8. Because the word purpose keeps coming up. And so 1 John 3:8, the B part says this, for this purpose. So even Jesus came to earth, yes, to be our Savior, but this was his purpose. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I just like reading that over again just because I like it. He destroyed the works of the devil. How many know his purpose was fulfilled? Colossians 2:15 says it was. Having destroyed principalities, he made a show of him openly, triumphing over him in it. His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. So Jesus finished his purpose, and then he sat down at the right hand of the Father. So he had a purpose. Paul had a purpose. Acts 26, verse 16. But Jesus is talking to him, "Arise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose." This is my purpose, to make you a minister. Where did he get this purpose? He got it in his mother's womb. What's he doing? He's discovering it. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen and those things which I will appear unto thee. So I brought these things out because Jesus has a purpose, Paul has a purpose. You say, well, that's ministry. But I want to tell you that I believe God has a purpose for every one of you. God has a purpose for my life. And I'm still, you know, even as you go, you can get the general gist of it, but then there's specific purposes, specific things that he's called you to do. And it's a fun discovery all of your life, but you do definitely have a purpose. Every one of us in this room has a purpose. Let's look at this. John the Baptist. I love this in John chapter 1, verse 22. They said unto him, "Who are you? Funny man wearing funny clothes and eating strange food. Who are you? Who are you?" How many of you know everybody wants to? We often, don't we often even identify ourselves? Somebody say, they'll meet you. "Hi, your name's Jorge." I've been in Spanish. "Hi, your name's George. And nice to meet you. What do you do?" Is it the first thing we usually identify ourselves with is what we do. "I'm an engineer. I'm a teacher. I'm an accountant. I'm a preacher." On airplanes, I usually don't tell people that because once I tell them who I am, then they don't want to talk to me anymore. And so they're afraid they'll say something wrong. They get all holy and King James on me. And so who are you? Who are you? And we usually identify ourselves by what we do, by our function. And a lot of times, though, we kind of leave out. What if you started identifying yourself spiritually first? Because really, spiritually is how everything flows out of you. I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again one. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you really? And yes, then your function flows out of that from the Lord. It said that we may give an answer to them that send us. Everybody wants to know who you are. Who are you, strange little fellow? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Then they said, what do you have to say about yourself? What say you of yourself? That's an important one. Who do you say you are? Remember, they came to Jesus, and they were talking, people were saying who he was. And then Jesus even asked the question, who do these people say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this. But then he said, who do you say I am? It's important that you're able to identify yourself. Because when you identify yourself with your purpose, it'll create your function, and it'll cause you to live the high life that God has ordained for you. But if you're just going to wander, if you're just going to go through life and say, well, whatever is, if God wants me to have it, he will. No, you got to go to the Creator and find out what you were created for. Then verse 23 says this. Verse 23 says, he knew who he was. This is who I am. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So where did John the Baptist find out who he was? Well, number one, he found out from mom and dad. Because how many of you know, Elizabeth probably loved to talk about, yeah, there was a time your daddy couldn't say a word. It was fun. It was awesome. This thing happened, and Mary came to my house. You remember, the cousin, little Jesus. Yeah. You jumped in my womb, they're just people. They're going to talk about that kind of stuff. Number two, when he saw Jesus, he said, the one who told me has also identified, this is the Lamb of God. The one who talked, so he got it from God. And then he said, so he obviously also found it in the book from the prophet Isaiah. Now, there's maybe nothing in here specifically in the book about you. But when you find the Word of God, it will generally guide you in the direction. And then the Holy Ghost can take it and make it specific for you. So you find it in the Word. You find out who you are in the Word. You find out from the Lord himself, the Spirit of God will show you. And as a parent, it is our job to guide our children to find out who they really are. Now, I'll tell you the truth, though, and God's going to have to speak to them eventually on his own. You can only guide up to a point. And then he's going to have to talk to them. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? I'm the voice. He knew exactly who he was. Do you know exactly who you are? And you can get there if you can say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know who I am really. Then you can get there so that you can answer with confidence in any area of your life. This is for this season. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And when you get confident about that, then you can boldly declare it. I want to leave you with these two things. Because really, why this is so important is, when it comes down to it, only God's purpose in your life will really stand. Everything else is just, that's why the Apostle Paul said, I count everything but dung so that I may win Christ. I did it my own way. Paul's a great example. As Saul, he did it his way. He had this, remember, he was helping God, he thought. The Bible said, he even said, I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. He really thought what he was doing was right. He thought he was helping God out, cleansing from this weird aberration of people who said they're worshiping God. He was the cleansing power. But the Bible says he did it ignorantly and in unbelief. But he thought he was right. Many are the ways of a man's own mind, but it's the Lord that directs the steps. So it's not what you can plan for yourself. It's what God has planned for you. And in Psalms 127:1, it says this. Except the Lord build the house. I want everybody to say, except the Lord build my life. They labor in vain that build it. In other words, if I build my own life, if I do it my way, you're laboring in vain. So you've got to let the Lord build. You've got to let the Lord do it. I don't know about you, but I don't like doing things in vain. You know what in vain means? It means worthless, it came to nothing. You could have done something, but it came to nothing. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Except the Lord build your life, you labor in vain. And if you want something in your life to stand, you've got to find out God's purpose for your life and his plan. Last verse, Acts chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, so anything that's of men, anything that's of the devil, anything that's of the natural, if we try to do it on our own, the Bible says it comes to nothing. There's nothing you can do or I can do in my life on my own with my bright ideas, with my good planning, with how what I think it ought to be. The Bible says if it's of men, if it's thought of a man, if it's originated by man, this work will come to nothing. But, verse 39, but if it be of God, what's of God? God has a purpose for you. God has a plan. He's ordered your steps. But if it be of God, whatever God has for you, whatever the plans he has for you, if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. You cannot. They can. People around you can try to mess up the plan of God, but they can't. If it's God, they can't overthrow it. Now, you can get in sin and mess it up, but even if you get in sin and mess it up, you can repent and get back in there. I don't recommend doing it that way. I just recommend, let's just live this and do right, but because if it's of God, you can't overthrow it. I love this. Lest haply you find yourself to be fighting against God. And the last time I look, he has never lost. He hasn't lost a battle. He had definitely not lost a war. He always wins. That's why the Bible says he always causes me to triumph. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. If it be of God, so your life, what's the purpose? If it's of God, no one can overthrow it. If it's of God, it's not too late to get to it. Never too early, never too late to get after the plan of God. The purpose for your life. If it's of God, you can't overthrow it. And if someone does try to overthrow it, they're going to be found fighting against God himself. Amen. And if you want to fight against God himself, you have at it. But I'm not going to fight against him. Have you ever found yourself fighting against God? This is one of plans he has for my life. Sometimes, you know, he doesn't change his mind. He just repeats. He wants you to do something and you're not getting it. He'll just say it over and over, and he'll bring it another way and over. And he's not going to change his mind. You can't outwait him. I have a funny story. And some, if you haven't been through membership, you haven't heard it. But when it came to this church, 24 years ago, November will be 25 years, I was a traveling itinerant minister and a missionary, traveling missionary. I didn't live overseas like my wife. She lived in India. But I would travel back and forth to mostly South America, Brazil especially. And I lived at home. I was single, lived at home with my mom. She was doing all my cooking, cleaning, laundry. I had the great life. I was traveling on the weekends, preaching in churches, worked in a church Monday through Thursday, took team. I mean, I was living the life. I really liked my life. And then the Lord dealt with me about starting a church here in Alabama. At first, I thought it was punishment, and then I didn't know what was going on. Of course, I love it here now. I still drive around. I love this place. I love this place. I do. God couldn't have put me in a better place. I love this place. And but at the time, I tried to outwait him. In other words, every time he talked to me about coming down here, because I was a single man, didn't have any money, I was getting ready to go to Peru to lead a team of a group of a church out of Mobile, a friend of mine, her dad's church, and we were taking about 20 people, and I was helping lead the team. And so God at the same time was dealing with me about pastoring. I'm just telling you, the purpose in your life, you can't outwait him. You can't get him to change the channel. It's not like getting a remote. I was talking about my spiritual remote in prayer. He would want to talk about coming here to Alabama, and I'd want to talk about Peru, and I'd try to change the channel. And he wouldn't talk, and I wouldn't talk, and we just didn't get a whole lot done for a few months. Because every time I went into prayer, he wanted to talk about me coming here. And every time we went into prayer, I didn't want to do it because I couldn't see how to do it. Because number one, as a single male with no money and who doesn't want to move to Alabama, I just couldn't figure it out. But he just kept repeating and repeating and repeating. And it's the same way for you. I use ministry examples because that's who I am. But what's your purpose? And I'm so great. And see, even the Lord, he knew that I would love this. He knew that I would flourish here. He knew the football and the ribs were great here. Seriously, he knew that I would not only love what I did, but that I would enjoy my life and that he could still get me to the nations of the world from right here. You can get anywhere from Huntsville, Alabama, from Madison, Alabama. They have airplanes. He knew I'd like it. What is he trying to get you to do? First, you got to find out your purpose. When you find out your purpose, you'll know your function. And then you'll know your steps are ordered. And if you follow them, then when you get to the end of your life and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." But truthfully, the only way you can fulfill your purpose is Jesus being the Lord of your life. The Bible says all things were created by him and for him. You were created for his pleasure. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, just for a minute. I want to make sure that everybody in this room and everybody that's watching is born again or in fellowship with the Lord. Jesus is the Son of God. He did come to the earth and he did die on a cross, and he took all your sin, all your sickness, all your pain, all your shame. He nailed it to the tree. And on the third day, he did raise from the dead, and he is alive. He took his blood and set it on a mercy seat in heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And he invites you to know him. He has a plan for you. Somebody please listen to me in this room. God has a plan for your life. He cares so deeply about you. And you can't keep doing it on your own. I'm not talking about playing church. I'm talking about having a relationship with a living Father who loves you and a Savior who will help you every day of your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room, you've never known Jesus to be, you've never received him as Savior. You've never made him the Lord of your life. I want you to lift your hand and say, "Pastor Mark, pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise I am going to pray for you." If that's you, lift your hand. Or if you're in this room and you've been living in sin, you once served God, but you've been living in sin away from God, and you need to get back, just lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let's all stand. There's a number of you that lifted your hand, and so this is what we're going to do. Everybody in the room, just lift one hand to heaven. Those of you who lifted your hand that you needed prayer, say this out of your heart and out of your mouth, and things are about to be different. Say this. Say, "Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he was raised from the dead, and I receive him as my Savior. I make him the Lord of my life. And Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe the blood of Jesus cleanses me right now in Jesus' name."